Tiffany the Last.
And we're from piratepods.com, and we're on the phone with...
I'm Client B from the band Client, otherwise known as Sarah.
Tell our listeners how the three of you started and got together.
Oh, gosh. Well, Kate and I started in 2002, and basically she was in another band called Technique. Her singer decided to leave about a week before a tour started with Depeche Mode. They'd got about four dates supporting Depeche Mode, playing to like 145,000 people. And I just got a phone call from one of my friends just saying, do you want to go on tour with Depeche Mode? Because he knew I was a singer and I was at a loose end. And, yeah, so basically, next thing I find myself in front of 145,000 Germans just chanting, Depeche Mode, Depeche Mode. I was like, hello, we're Technique, oh dear. And we just did our half-hour set. And then on the second date in Leipzig, we decided to form a Client and go for it with new music that we'd been writing ourselves, and then Depeche Mode just kept asking us on more and more tour dates. They were like, you know, do you want to come on the private jet with us? Which was such a thrill. I'm making no bones about it. It was absolutely amazing. And so basically, every weekend we were away with Depeche Mode, and then during the week we'd write together. And that became the first Client album. And then at the end of the tour, Fletch just said, have you got a demo of what you're working on right now? Because I'm thinking of starting a record label. And we gave him our little demo and thought, oh, there's no way he'll ever listen to it. You know, he's in one of the biggest bands in the world. Why would he, you know? Anyway, about 3 months later, we got a call from him just saying, do you want to be on my label? And that's how Client started, basically. And then we decided that, I think it was for the third album, we just wanted to do something a bit different, and because there was complex harmonies and we'd started introducing guitar, we just thought, I know, we'll get a bass player. And and three, I think, just gives it a, you know, the power of three and all that, you know, it just gives it a bit more of a dynamic, really. So that's it in a nutshell, really.
Yeah. Well, starting out sort of hanging out and about with Depeche Mode is pretty amazing.
There's not very much room to go up, is there, really?
Well, that's what I was just going to ask. I mean, in the span of the Client career, what else has been a highlight? I mean, that's kind of hard to top.
Meeting Karl Bartos from Kraftwerk, I mean, that's been pretty amazing as well. He's been a really big supporter of us, you know, and he's been absolutely amazing. And he comes to see us when we play in Hamburg and stuff. And he's been a real support to us. And then on top of that, you know, we've got to work with, you know, I got to sing with people like Martin Gore, which was absolutely amazing. And then Pete and Carl from the Libertines, we did tracks with them. Tim Burgess from the Charlatans. Douglas McCarthy from Fixmer and McCarthy and Knights of Ebb. Gosh, we've worked with, who else have we worked with? De Krupps, we've done stuff with them. So it's been absolutely amazing, to be honest. So it's like everyone's saying, who do you want to work with next? I'm like, who would I like to sing with? Scott Walker, Morrissey, Susie and the Banshees, Debbie Harry, Madonna. So, you know... Onwards and upwards.
Well, you're just getting ready to go on another European tour, and
we are. You should see the state of my flat. It's about 22 meters square, and it is just full of gear and merchandise. And I'm trying to pack my suitcase and then unpack it and try and keep it as small as I can. And it's I'm pretty stressed. I'm running around like a headless chicken tonight. I'm just it's a bit stressful, but you know.
Well, what are some of the
for our art.
What are some of the things that you definitely have to take with you on tour that you can't live without?
False eyelashes, without a doubt. And wet wipes for all emergencies, you know. Sometimes you're just in situations where you have to do your makeup in some mobile toilet somewhere. So wet wipes are absolute essentials. And the uniforms, of course. We can't do anything without the uniforms and a computer.
Yeah, you have really sleek, cool uniforms. Who's your designer?
She's a girl called Ingrid Subon. And she's in Germany. She lives in Berlin. And her and Kate are currently doing a clothing line together as well, client clothing. I think Ingrid and Kate are designing the stuff, and Ingrid's getting it made, and they're doing like a range of nail varnish and makeup and all nice things like that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I saw that you guys are selling some of your old outfits online. How's that been going?
Going surprisingly well. we were quite surprised, actually, but I'm really relieved because they're all in my wardrobe, so I've got absolutely no room for my own clothes at the moment, so I'll be relieved to get my closet space back, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, they're selling really well. I was surprised that people would want to buy them, but they do, you know. I mean, we just thought, you know what, we're never going to wear them again, so they might as well go to, like, you know, a fan. And I've had reports back from people, you know, fans that have bought them, just saying thank you, you know, we'll really treasure them. So, you know, managed to brighten somebody's day. So that's always a nice thing.
Yeah. Well, if a client cult were to suddenly break out, what would its founding laws be?
To be honest, I think there already is. We've got some very devoted fans that follow us from gig to gig, you know, and it's really sweet because now they've got my phone number and they send me text messages going, will you play Tuesday night tonight? Will you play Diary of an 18-Year-Old Boy? So I would say innovate, never imitate, and satisfaction guaranteed. They're the two sort of mainstay mottos. But we have our manifesto in the song that's client, you know. So, yes, I think they're the commandments, as it were, the client commandments.
Yeah. Well, since you're speaking about commandments, I was just wondering, in that your song "Can You Feel," you sing, "I believe in the power of rock and roll." What is the power of rock and roll?
I think it's just having no plan B. It's just that it's your life, basically. Music is in your blood, and you can't do anything about it. You can't stop doing it. Whether you like it or not, I think it's the way I feel, actually. It's I can never remember a time in my life where I didn't want to sing. In fact, this is really vomit inducing, but my mum said that when I was a child, when I was a baby in my cot, she said you were singing in your cot before you could talk. I'm just like, oh, that's just puke inducing. That's, you know, it's the line in the ABBA song, isn't it? Thank you for the music. But my mum said it was completely true. You know, that the show will go on, you know. I mean, there was a time where, you know, I fainted on stage, twisted my ankle, and I went back and did the encore, and then the next week I went on with my I'd actually sprained my ankle really badly, and I had it in plaster, and I actually went on stage and stood there, and no crutches or anything, I just hung onto the microphone with my leg in plaster and waved it around a bit, and we did a whole show like that. I mean, that's kind of rock and roll. And, you know, it's the days where, you know, being on stage is just, the best gigs are always when you've had a really foul day, when your plane's been delayed, when, you know, you've got stuck in traffic, you know, things have happened that conspire against you so that you can't make the gig, but you come through and you make the gig and it's fantastic and it just makes it all worthwhile, and the music just makes it all worthwhile. And I think that's the power of rock and roll. And it's just, you live in a dream, you know, and you should just make the most of it and enjoy it, because, you know, it doesn't last that long, really. And very, very lucky to be doing it.
Well, I have a question from one of your devoted fans, Brian. He's in L.A., and he wanted to know if you're ever going to work with Alan Wilder from Depeche Mode.
We nearly asked him to do something on this album, but we just didn't get round to it in the end. But, yeah, that would be really nice. But it's kind of like he's not in Depeche Mode anymore, and it's just don't want to tread on any toes or anything. But, I mean, Alan Wilder is... I mean, my favourite album's Violator, and I think his sort of presence is very apparent on it. I think that's kind of Depeche's defining moment for me, really.
He also wanted to know when you were going to come to the States.
Oh, we've been. We came 2 years ago, but you know what? We would love to come back. It was the first time I really sort of just got the hang of LA and stopped fighting it, stopped trying to walk everywhere, you know. Because the first time I went, I was like walking along Sunset Strip, you know, and all these cars are peeping at me, you know, peeping the horns, and there's me thinking, what's going on here, you know? Because I'm from, well, at the time I was from Manchester, so I used to walk everywhere and not think anything about it. And I was talking to the guy in reception, and he's like, you should have got a taxi, you know. I only went out to the garage to get some headache pills, and it was like 4 miles down the road, you know, and it was just, and, you know, so this time we had our own car, and we just sort of drove ourselves around, and that was really liberating, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I sort of wandered about on my own and just really got in the swing of LA, and I really liked it. And God, the sun shines, it's just amazing, and it's warm. I mean, you know, it's just such a fabulous climate, you know. I'm so jealous.
Well, if your music suddenly became a reliable source of energy, what sort of things would it power?
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Oh, Gordon Bennett, I can't think. Cogs of the wheels of the client industry, I think. It is like a mini industry. I'm sat here now with like merchandise and orders going off, and I've got press releases to put in envelopes, and it's just like a mini industry. My whole flat is just like client HQ right now.
Well, besides your tour coming up, what are you really looking forward to in the future?
Oh, to be honest, I'm so stressed out about the tour. I can't really think beyond that. But I'm hoping to get out and DJ a bit more, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I do really, really enjoy inflicting my taste in music on other people. And I play, like, a bit of hip-hop and a bit of 70s disco and a bit of 80s electro and a bit of cheesy 80s and a bit of soundtrack from Flashdance I'm quite obsessed with at the moment. So I just can't wait to do that and... just get my DJing up and running and just keep on doing the band, you know, because I know the climate's just very, very uncertain at the moment, and the music industry's in absolute free fall, and I just hope that, you know, we can just carry on doing it and keep funding ourselves from it, you know. It's a good place to be in.
Okay. All right, well, I've always got a couple of silly questions I ask all my musicians to close the interviews out.
Okay.
And the first one is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Slang terms? Oh, Gordon Bennett. I have pet names for everybody. I'm really, really bad. And I say ace far too much. I'm like, oh, that's ace. Oh, smashing. I say that too much as well, yeah. And my pet names, I call people chicken and chickpea and buttercup and petal and chicken and flower. Oh, God, the list is endless.
Okay. What's your drink of choice?
I'm really boring. I drink water these days. I overdid it with the old rock and roll spirit in my youth, and now I'm a reformed rock and roller. But I go into pubs in the East End of London and go, can I have a hot water, please, with a slice of lemon? Which, I have a nice little China teacup. It's, I kind of like the perversity of that. So that suits me down to the ground.
And how do you feel about eyeliner?
Oh, God, the more the merrier. Can't get enough of it. I've been wearing liquid eyeliner since I was about 11, and I love it. I've just discovered glitter eyeliner, actually, and that's a marvellous invention.
Glitter?
Oh, glitter eyeliner. It's ace. It's like this gel eyeliner that's got like black and gold or black and silver glitter in it. Whoa, bring it on. I love makeup. I'm the one who should be doing the makeup line, not Kate. She just borrows all mine. She's like getting her little fingers in my makeup. I'm like, oh, God, that was so expensive. Please don't get your fingernails in it. I'm a total makeup obsessive. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Sarah, for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome. Very welcome indeed.
And could you close out our interview with a pirate impression of some sort?
A pirate impression?
Yeah, or a joke.
O-R. Oh, no, the farmer.
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.